I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
This is part three on the basics, and we're looking at communing with God. And so just by way of review and remembering and reminding us, there are some statistics that we drew up and we had found in surveys that were taken. And one of them was dealing with why don't we pray more? And we dealt with the statistics on how many pray and da-da-da-da-da-da. So the one main reason why we don't pray more, too busy. All right, so we said that we will always make time for the things for which we really want to do. And therefore, if praying is a necessity, is praying is a priority, then we will make the time to pray. But we also know that we have an enemy who wants to keep us off our knees and wants to keep us too busy so we aren't communing with him, the Lord, that is. And Satan is very active. I am so grateful, though. Scripture says, greater is he that's in us. That's the Holy Spirit of God. It's God himself. Than he that's in this world. And so we have the capacities, spiritually, to be able to pray. And to pray regularly, and pray consistently, and pray fervently. And pray for anything at any time. There's also those who say, well, I don't know what to say. Do you ever get to a point where you just don't know how to pray? Just don't know what to really bring before the Lord? We are taught in the book of Romans that when we are in those circumstances and we're very maybe stressed, or there are situations that are so overwhelming, that the Holy Spirit of God works in us through our inability to convey our requests to the Lord, that he does it on our behalf in groanings and utterings which cannot be uttered or expressed. By the way, that is not to say that we pray in tongues. That verse of scripture is not talking about any kind of angel speak or any kind of gibberish or any kind of special language. All it is talking about is the Spirit of God will work in us when we just don't know how to express ourselves. So, not enough privacy. So we can find a private place to pray. Missing a good routine. Now, that means we have to put it into our schedules. There are times we have to have prayer which is spontaneous. Anytime something happens and we need to pray, boom, we're ready to pray. There's times also we need planned times to pray. I know for church services, one of the things we do at 9 o'clock, we have a prayer time. That's a planned time. I know for my personal life, there's a planned time when I have my Bible reading and prayer time together. Okay? And then there's something else. So I hope and pray that this lesson is going to help us to be able to not fall into these particular categories. We're able to be overcomers on this. So developing a scriptural understanding of praying to God. Praying is not, we've said this before, I'm going to kind of just state it and then go through it so we can get actually into the third part and complete today. So praying is not just pleading for God to do or give what you want, but is humbly seeking what he wants. Praying is not persuading God to change his mind or plan, but is willingly allowing him to match your ways with his. Praying is not demanding God to perform your will from heaven, but is submissively desiring his will to be accomplished on earth. You see a consistent theme here? Sometimes praying is what we think, what we want, what we like, whatever. But no, praying is what does God want, what does God say, what is God's will. So praying is always God-oriented.
Look at Luke 18, unjust judge, whatever.
Yeah.
It's telling us to plead with God.
Yes.
But, like I said, it is seeking His will.
Yes.
And if you look at Christ, He makes a request, even though He already knows God's will.
Yes.
He still makes the request.
Yes.
And so, we do have to express our desires.
Yes.
But we humbly accept what God.
Yes. Can you hold that thought? Because we're going to discuss that very thing. Because it does seem contradictory, does it not? I mean, it does. We're not to plead with God. We're not to... And there are times where praying is a very earnest, fervent thing. But we want to be sure that in the theology of praying and the purpose for praying, it's all God-oriented as opposed to me-oriented. And that's partly what this was all about. And it was Jesus who did pray. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And He knew what the will of God was. Now, we're going to get to that in a moment, so thank you. And then praying is not just begging God to alleviate an emergency, but consistently depending upon Him to manage your circumstance. Yeah.
It's God's will. This is not sin.
Say it.
This is not a sin to plead.
No, this is what I'm describing here can become sin. If our attitude and our ambition is so demanding and so begging, and then it's not accepting God's will to the point it gets to an anger at God or a bitterness with God, and we can. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But you know, praying for what you want.
Correct. We're going to get to that.
It's not a sin.
No, we're going to get to that. Yeah, thank you. So you and George are thinking alike, so we're going to get to that. If I don't answer your question, then we'll go to part four next week. So in essence, praying is the privilege God gives you to spiritually commune with Him at any time. The opportunity He affords you to personally worship Him in any place. And the occasion He presents you to totally depend upon Him in any situation. So that's kind of a nutshell definition of what praying is. There are commands. Praying is an obligation. Praying is a priority. And praying is a habit. And so we've already looked at all this. Here's where we kind of left off from last week. And if you can take your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 4, we're going to use this as a template for what are the components for praying. While you're turning there, we did look at this, and this is where we ended last week. Praying includes worshiping God for who He is. And the reason this is number one is because when you look at the various places in Scripture, especially when you're considering Matthew 6 and Luke 11, those two are the examples of praying set by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, when you pray, pray in this manner. So He's not giving us so much a rote prayer to pray at all times. How many of you grew up in a church background or you had some circumstance where you always recited the Lord's Prayer? Okay? There's nothing wrong with reciting it. However, there are times where it becomes just like a mechanical formulaic and something which is done without even, you go through the motions. I remember a time I was a chaplain at the Taylor Hose and Engine Company number one, and they had a special event coming up. And as a chaplain, there were times I'd give the invocation, give the benediction, and then I was asked to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. And I said, well, I have a little bit of a question about that, because you're doing a happy hour from 6 till 7, and then at 7 o'clock we're going to get together and we're going to start this little celebratory thing. It's an annual thing. And people are going to be pretty happy by that time. And I said, and we're going to do something that is going to be a spiritual thing, a religious thing. And some people, we're going to ask them to do something that is going to be going totally against what we're doing. And he scratches his chin. Good point, Rev. We won't do the Lord's Prayer. I said, I will pray, but I don't think it'd be wise to have people doing and saying things that would not be in conjunction with the very purpose for why it's being done. And he understood that. That gave a good opportunity to go even further to share why and what the Lord's Prayer is, and he's giving it to his people so that they know how to commune with God. So worshiping is a very important part of praying. And I said last week, if there's an assignment I could give you, take time to just pray and do nothing. Ask nothing, but just praise and worship God. You look at some of the prayers of the Old Testament, the kings or some of the other prophets and such, and invariably almost every one of them start off with worship, who God is. Jonathan, George.
So I don't even know how to fully express this question, but praying with unbelief, for a meal.
Yeah.
With where maybe you're the only believer, but I don't know. I was just thinking about it because it's happened. And for instance, at a climbing competition, mm-hmm. that happened to me. I was thinking I'm going to have a little bit. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll open in prayer. But mm-hmm. I'm pretty much the only believer there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was just thinking, what's not the appropriateness of that, because I think it's still appropriate, but I don't know exactly what my question is. I'm just praying where it's pretty much all non-believers, in your instance where, I don't know, I'm sorry, let me think about it more, but it hurts me.
Yeah, I usually in opportunities where you get to pray, and there's unbelievers there, you're talking to God, and they're listening. And there have been opportunities I've had to be in the settings on believers.
That's where I'm sort of going with it. I'm talking to God and they're just listening.
Would you be manipulative if you put pieces and portions of the gospel and different things in there?
I don't know. Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Something like that. I don't know. Is it?
I don't think so.
They're not communing with God. They don't have a relationship.
No, but I think that praying. Yeah.
Right, but specifically with them. All right, let's all gather and we're gonna pray. I don't know. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it or that I haven't done it.
Okay.
Sorry. So what's my question? I guess is that completely appropriate, even though they're not communing with God along with me? Here we do a communal prayer.
Take the example of Jesus Christ. Did he ever pray amidst unbelievers? He did. And so, or even the Apostle Paul, did he pray amidst unbelievers? Or even, you look back and even the kings, when they prayed, there were unbelievers present. He prayed publicly. They prayed publicly, and I don't believe there's anything inappropriate praying in the midst of unbelievers. I don't think it's even inappropriate to pray worshipful, evangelistic type prayers. Even when we sing, when we sing, that last song we just sang, it's a prayer. There's times in the congregation we sing and there may be unbelievers present. And so praying is something that we do as an expression of ourselves to God. Others are listening, therefore they get to hear various and sundry things. Make sense?
Yes. I'm sure many have heard the Acts.
Yeah, we're getting into that too. So let's get to these things.
One really quick. I don't know the scripture reference, but I do think there's somewhere in the gospel where Jesus said, Father, something to this effect. Father, I don't need to speak out loud to you. You know, but for their benefit, I say these things.
Okay. Yeah. There might be, I'm not sure where that might be, John 17 or, yeah. So let's move on then. So prayer. Now here's where we go. To some of the question about praying for yourself and your needs, Paul's question, even to George to some extent. Praying includes, and I use the word imploring. What does the word implore mean? When you implore, it almost gets to the tone of begging, but not a whiny begging. Sometimes our kids come and they whine beg, you know that? Then there's other times, please, I just need this. Dad, I need this. I got a homework problem. I just can't get it solved. I really need your help. That's a different type. That's a necessity begging. And I believe that's what it is. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer you and show you many things which you don't know. Matthew 7:7-8. Does anybody know Matthew 7:7-8 by memory? Ask, it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For whatsoever you ask, it shall be given unto you. Whatever you, when you knock, it shall be answered. And when, I think I messed it up a little bit. But going back to the Philippians 4:6 passage, you're all there. Could somebody read that for me? Philippians 4:6. Jim?
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Okay, do you see the word supplication there? The word supplication is a specific word outside of prayer. There's a general word for prayer that's used throughout Scripture, but when supplication is used, it's a term for requesting, asking, that arises from a specific need. It's likened to a desperate cry for help. It presents a pressing and an urgent request. When Jesus, in his pattern for praying, give us this day our daily bread, that is a supplication. That is a prayer for your own personal needs. And when you pray, you do want to pray for the things that you need. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, do you need wisdom at times? Yes. So you pray for it. Do you need grace at times to handle a very difficult, tumultuous situation? Yes, you do. Now, those are virtue things that you pray for, but you also have physical needs that you pray for as well.
Yes. How do we interpret God's will? Because, and here's the thing, yes, there are specifics in the Bible that are indisputable. A man and a woman are to marry. Okay. But how do I discern? Is this the one? If I'm looking for a job, like, I've only heard ministers and missionaries say, or maybe I haven't, well, I've always heard missionaries and ministers say, I felt led. I was called to this. Am I called to be a plumber? Is there a call for a construction worker? How do we discern? How do I put my prayer into action, I guess? Like, how would you say, if you're not a minister or a missionary, how do I discern?
Okay.
As I'm praying, and I'm earnestly seeking, show me what I am to do. Because our hearts are deceitful, we wicked. And we could go on our emotions, but we're not supposed to. So how do we really put that in practice and discern God's will?
I don't know if I can answer that in a one sentence. That's a very big, because you're dealing with the will of God, and then you have what is known as the determined will of God, and then you have the direct will of God. You have the will of God, which some people look as a pinpoint, and if you don't get on the pinpoint, you're out of the will of God. And then there's others look at, no, the will of God is within the boundaries. Anything in there is acceptable. Then you look at the personal daily will of God, which we should be in on a regular basis. Then you look at the future will of God, and I think that's where the question comes up with the future things. That within the will of God, he may not fully reveal as to an exact yes or no or a peace. I've oftentimes had people say, well, I have a peace about this, therefore I'm going to do it. Well, the formula from Philippians 4, when you look, he says you pray, and then you will, the peace of God, And then you think on these things. So there's a formula that is there in the book of Philippians. The will of God, when it comes to, like, say, future, let's use the issue for marrying. Okay, so the will of God, you know certain parameters. I will not marry an unbeliever. I will marry someone who is truly walking with God. I will marry someone who fits the description in Scripture. I will marry someone who I know with their parents' consent and it's approved. And so therefore, you know the will of God in some of those things. All right, so now there's four individuals. Which one is it? It could very well be that either one of those four would be within the will of God. Now that other person, you got to remember something else. When you're praying like this, so is the other person. That other person is praying, I need a good husband or a wife. I need the da-da-da-da-da. And they're praying it too. And their parents are praying. And your parents are praying. And so those things come to bear so that when one of the four, I believe God will make it clear that's the one. So it's a faith thing, number one, but it's also a walking with God thing. Because if I am not daily in fellowship with God, which is the will of God, if I'm not daily in the Word of God, which is the will of God, if I'm not daily praying, daily confessing my sin, if I am not daily walking with God in the will of God in those matters, it's going to be a little more difficult to know His will when it comes to, like, future things. Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? Should I buy this house? Should I not buy this house? Should I buy this car? Should I not buy this car? Should I do this? Do this? Okay. And I think the key with the will of God is being daily in the will of God to the best of your ability to what you know. And then it will be a little more clear, but then there will also be times you may have to intensify your praying with some fasting. I really just am not clear on this. I need God's will. What is God's will here? And so sometimes, honestly, it's a faith matter. And we like to have, quote unquote, certainties and sureties. Wouldn't you just love it if God gives you a text? Da-da-da, this is the one. Ah, thank you, Lord. But we have to be like Eliezer with Abraham.
David, that's a very noble thing.
Sure.
And God didn't say, I don't want a temple. He just said, it's not for you, it's for your son because you're a man of war. God put it on David's heart.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to fulfill that vision, but it wasn't for him.
Mm-hmm.
How did David know? He didn't know until he tried.
No, he knew because the prophet came and told him, David, you want to build a temple? I'm sorry, you can't. It's not for you. Your son's going to build it.
Anyway.
No, he didn't do it anyway. David?
David
didn't do it.
He tried to bring the Ark of the Covenant in. That was the first.
Okay, now that's another incident. Okay.
Yes, but I'm just saying he was trying to work towards doing that. And then.
Well, the Ark of the Covenant.
I'm taking you off on a rabbit trail.
Yeah, well, getting into the will of God things, let's bring it all back to the point and say, when we are praying for requests for ourselves, what do we know from the Word of God that we need? Okay? So if I pray for myself and I'm saying, Lord, I want to go to the church. I'm really in a hurry. I've got to get there fast. Please don't let me get caught speeding. Okay? Don't have no officers on the road. I wouldn't pray that way because that's not within the will of God. Or, Lord, I could use a few extra dollars. When I go into the convenience store and I walk by the lottery and I buy this scratch-off, please let me be the winner. That's not within the will of God. So I'm not praying those things. And therefore, when I pray within the will of God, what you pray has to match what's in the Word of God. In David's instance, he wanted to do good things. He wanted to bring the ark back. And he put it on a cart. Which I'm surprised he did that because he knows that it's not to be carried by the ark that or by the cart. That's what the Philistines did. The Levites carry it. And he knew pretty quickly afterwards that this was not the will of God. And I think there are times where we may step out and we may pray for things and God may make it pretty clear to us it's not within the will of God. Now, there is the personal will of God, and there's the general will of God. I would submit to you that when we pray, we are praying earnestly for the things that we know that are within the general will of God. And so therefore, if I am looking at the future and I'm looking at decisions to be made, if I am not praying first and foremost and walking with God first and foremost in His general will, it is not going to be as clear as to what the future will of God or what these decisions are. That's why it is so necessary for every single one of us as believers in Christ to have a daily established walk with God. And that's for the pastor. That's for the one who just got saved. Because praying, when you go all the way back then and you look at those first points, then we will pray more this way without having God as a part of it. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? And therefore, when we pray for the things that we need, as opposed to the things we want, now is it wrong to pray for things we want? Lord, I need a new car. And that Lamborghini looks pretty nice. All right, so if I can afford a Lamborghini, well, then I have to pray, is it the wisest thing? Or maybe I buy a 1999 Nissan Sentra. Is it going to get me from point A to what can I afford? So that's another element in regard to how we pray. And I know when we were looking, there are certain times where you will have to pray for yourself based on absolute necessity. You got to notice that your job is going to end in 2 weeks. Or if you're renting, your landlord has given you 30 days. Or you have a medical matter and the doctor has said this. That can alter how you pray. I know for us personally, when the landlord told us we're putting our house up, your house up for sale, I said, okay. And things moved so rapidly, and we, with our children, sat down and we changed our praying in our devotional time. I even set aside time for fasting over this because this is a critical matter. And I asked the church. And somebody came up to me and said, Pastor, aren't you worried? No, you should be worried. Nope. Aren't you worried? I said, you're doing enough for me. I'm not going to worry about this. Because God has promised me that He will sustain. And God blessed in a marvelous way. Now, how did we know that house on 9 Washington Street was going to be the one? There was a way in which, as we were walking in the general will, as we were praying together, others were praying, we were seeking Scripture as far as principles. What can we afford? What is proximity to the church? Value, quality, all these things went into that decision, and we had to make a decision. And I couldn't put out a fleece like Gideon did. I just said, Lord, I believe, and I don't want to say I had a peace, but there was just something, Lord, I believe this is it. But listen, once the decision is made, that is the will of God. You've made it and God's allowed it. Now, there are times where God will prevent it. You won't get financing, or somebody else will buy the house, or something else will happen. Well, those are ways in which God closes doors. But what we do, and the key to asking prayer requests for yourself, because like, say, instance, if I get, I have a diagnosis for cancer. Lord, please heal me. That may not be God's will for me. You say, wait a minute. God, please, I would pray this way. Lord, give me grace to endure this. And if you would spare my life, praise your name. But if not, I'm looking forward to heaven. And in the midst of this all, let me be a testimony for you. I don't know if your will is to heal me. How do we know that? I don't know. So there are a lot of times we're praying for ourselves. We don't know what the outcome is as far as the will of God, but we know this. As we're going through this circumstance, we are asking God for His divine involvement and His divine intervention. But a lot of times we're praying for ourselves, because I've told, even on our Wednesday night prayer times, as far as praying, we're praying for a lot of people on our health needs list. But I said, we pray for their healing, yes. But what if it isn't God's will to heal that person? Is it God's will to heal everybody? There were people who lost their lives as martyrs for the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are others whose lives were spared. So I think when we pray for ourselves, we have to be praying in light of what does God want? Now that goes back to our daily walk with God, our time in the Word, because the more you're in the Word, the more you're going to know what God wants for you. The more you're in the Word, the more you're going to understand what the general will of God is.
I feel like remembering at all times, not mindful but yours.
Yeah. It does.
You don't have to worry about that.
Very good.
You don't have to worry about whether or not I get cured from cancer or maybe it gets better. You know, it's now, it's on him.
Yeah.
And I trust that he's going to carry me through that. And that worry is going to take it off of your shoulders.
Yeah, very much so. And there again, that takes the attention away from, and that's where the fretting, the anxiety, the fears, and all the worries will all be shifted to trust and faith and dependence and reliance on God and to watch Him work. Because let's remember something. When you pray, you are praying for an outcome or you're praying for a result. Sometimes what we're praying to that effect, it's not exactly what God's outcome is. Can we accept that? We better. And oftentimes, when the prayer request is answered and you don't understand it and you accept it, all of a sudden, days later, months later, years later, now I know why. Thank you, Lord. I didn't understand it then, but I see it now. All right, Paul.
Can you help me understand child imploring, sentiment for begging is different from pleading for begging? I mean, one say you say no, not to.
Yeah, it's okay, good.
And here we are, it includes, so like, it's contradictory. So
it is if we look at it from this perspective. Well, let me say this. It is not because we look at it from this perspective. I am not praying, begging God, begging God, begging God for me, for me, for me, for my. All me-oriented. Kind of using God as either an, I don't be sacrilegious, but as an errand boy, genie in a lamp type of thing. As opposed to I'm begging God for this request in line with His will so that He is glorified, so that He is magnified, so that I am edified, and that this request, whatever the answer is, O Lord, I would like this, but Lord, Your will be done. Your will be done.
I mean, praying is not begging God to alleviate emergencies. Praying includes God to meet your needs. The word emergency is a need. I mean, I was like, see what I'm saying?
That's, I do see that. That's why it's two parts to the, it's two parts to the actual first section. Okay. It's two parts.
Yeah.
Now, do we pray to God for emergencies? Well, sure we do. However, in the midst of those emergencies, what's the second part? What's the second part? We don't... Okay, so we are praying with a dependence upon God in the emergency, and I may have wanted to clarify that a little bit more, but we pray in emergencies. But sometimes what happens if you and I are not careful, we pray in our emergencies, and we're just me-oriented, and we're focused on what I want, what I like. Please get me out of this. Lord, please, I need that. That,
that. May not be what you're, like, you know, the life raft.
Exactly. Or on the other hand, Lord, this emergency, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. Lord, this is pretty serious. Lord, I want to do Your will. Lord, I want to depend upon You. Lord, I think this would be the great answer. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. You see the difference? And that's why, again, as we, and me included, as we're walking with God on a regular daily basis, when those emergencies come, immediately what's going to happen? Okay, Lord, I pray that I be Holy Spirit filled. I pray that I be Holy Word of God directed. I pray that I would be God glorifying in this, Christ-centered. ministry-minded, others-oriented. You know what that'll do? That'll frame your whole mindset and your requests. And that will go to that point of, all right, Lord, not my will, because I really don't know what your will is here. I know what I'd like, but I have to submit to you because I want your will to be accomplished. All right, we need to continue. I appreciate all the good discussion and such, but let's continue this way. And I think this, when you're looking at the actual components of praying, praying includes appreciating God for all he does. And I think this also will frame and temper both our attitudes and our actions and our requests in praying. We were in that Philippians 4:6, okay? Where it starts off by saying, be anxious for nothing, which means it's actually the present tense imperative with the negative, which means stop an action that may already be in progress. And careful for nothing can also be translated as worry or anxious or fearful or fretting. So he tells the believers there, stop this action that is detrimental to your faith. It's also detrimental to your health, detrimental to your testimony. Stop it. It's interesting as well. Do you know something? By the way, he doesn't tell you how to stop it. Yes, he does. You see the next word? But. In everything, by prayer, that's the general word for communing with God, and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And I forgot there, what? With thanksgiving. Praying involves having a thankful attitude. That's it, everything. When you look at Ephesians 5:20, now catch this for a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21 is one unit. And that one unit is dealing with Holy Spirit control. And so if I am controlled by the Holy Spirit, one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit of God's control is what? Is anybody at Ephesians 5:21 or 5:20? Giving thanks always. If I am Holy Spirit of God controlled, I will be a thankful person. Not just thankful, thank you, Jim, for doing this. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Kel. Thank you this way. But no, even more so and first and foremost, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this trial. Thank you, Lord, for this health diagnosis. I don't like it. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. Paul, thorn in the flesh. Three times, ask you to remove it, Lord. So what does thanksgiving, Daniel? I see, well, number one, punctuation was not a part of the actual original writings, okay? So there were no punctuations. And punctuations were inserted. Okay, so if it is indeed supplication with thanksgiving, that means while I'm praying and asking things, I'm thanking the Lord. Or if it is a separate item and I'm just thanking the Lord in general, I think we're covering the same basis. So I don't know if there is a major distinction. But I do believe in other passages, like in Ephesians 5:20, which is not in the context of praying, but it's in context with the Holy Spirit of God's filling. I will be thankful. So in my praying, I'll be thankful. In my trials, I will be thankful. In my relationships, I will be thankful. And we've got to define what thanksgiving is. By the way, too, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, giving thanks always, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So if you're in the will of God, you're going to be a thankful person, which all goes back to if I'm praying to God. Now, again, all these elements, they are interconnected. However, when I said there are times we should pray doing nothing but praising God, okay? But I believe incorporated into our praying should be worshiping, praising, which George is going to bring up again at Acts, the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, okay? Those are helpful ways in which we can do this. When you think of thanks, the word is Eucharisto. How many of you have ever grown up where you went to a church and you had a particular service that was called the Eucharist? Okay? The Eucharist was a way, it actually means thanksgiving. This verb is used 36 times in the New Testament. Out of every usage, it always has giving thanks to God as the expression. Interesting, isn't it? By the way, we oftentimes think of Thanksgiving as a thing we do at meals. And that was, Jesus did that, right? I mean, he prayed before he distributed the loaves and the fishes. And he prayed at the Last Supper while he was doing the communion service. So praying for food is a common practice, but that's not the only time we give thanks. One of the pictures, I forget which president had in his office, of President George Washington kneeling by his horse. I believe this is the eve of the entry into Valley Forge. And so we ought to be praying with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for all things. And it says in everything, not just for everything. So getting back to your point, Kathy, too, there are times where I don't know the full will of God. Can I be thankful in that? Yes, I can. I'm praying for lost souls to be saved and praying for some for 40, 50 years. Are they yet saved? No. Can I give thanks in some way to that? I can give thanks God is hearing me. I can give thanks that other people have gone into their paths and shared the gospel with them. I can pray they're still alive, that there's hope that they would repent and be born again. I can be thankful that God even gives me a heart of concern for this lost soul. And again, praying. Now remember, worship, fully vertical, God directed. Supplications, my requests, but fully vertical, God directed. Thanksgiving, oriented, circumstantial here, but vertical. That's why we've got to remember that praying always has God as both the subject and the object. And when we understand praying, let me go back. When we are walking with God, the general will of God, and we really know God, that'll help us in our prayer lives. Because when you know your Father, you'll know how to approach Him, how to address Him, how to ask of things. There were times I knew, well, I never had a father, okay, but my mother, she played the role of father. There were times I knew, there were certain things I would never go ask my mom, because I knew she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't give it. She wouldn't approve it. But then there were times I would try to manipulate and maneuver and argue and excuse and try to get everything so I can get what I wanted. I don't do that with God. If I know God's going to say no, I don't even ask. That's where, again, knowing what God's will, and I know we're getting into a fuzzy area because I could do a whole study, and I have. There's been a whole series in our Sunday school class where I've done on the will of God. Maybe I need to resurrect that and do that after we're done with this series, which probably will be part four next week as I can get it all wrapped up. But when we are praying, remember, if we get into the habit, to the priority, now this goes back to point number two, and the obligation. You will not only know God better, You will know how to pray, what to ask, what not to ask. And communing with God will really be that. It's not just speaking to God or speaking at God. Now, some of you may have grown up in homes, and sometimes the way that your parents spoke was to you, at you. It was never with you. It was never in an endearing fashion. If you're not careful, that can frame your view of God. Because a lot of times we as dads, by the way, dads, be careful. Because how we father our children for them can start their journey on their understanding of what a heavenly father is. We are an example. And so as we pray, we want to know God. We want to be able to fully commune with Him as opposed to just... Sometimes, you know, we're living in a fast, how would I say, a convenience-oriented world, right? If you want something to eat, you go to the microwave real quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you want, you're on the road, turn into McDonald's, right? Yeah, I know, okay. Maybe Wendy's or whatever. And you know what? We have been somewhat conditioned. You need money? Go to the ATM. You go to the grocery store, you know where to go, except if you go to ShopRite right now, they moved everything all around. You don't know where you're going. You know what's going on, right? Yeah, okay. But you go, you get your self-checkout, and off you go. So much convenience and so much, and even texting. How many of you live by your phone? As soon as the phone rings, you got to answer. You got to look. Who's there? You get a text. I got to know who this is. Excuse me a minute. I got to take my phone. Well, you know, we're living in that way, and we're treating somewhat our spiritual lives like that. We can treat prayer as driving into the drive-thru, dumping our prayer requests, driving around the corner, hopefully picking up our answers, and off we get back onto the highway of life. Or we treat God, I need this. I'll go to the ATM machine. I'll direct. Okay, God, please give me this. Give me this now. Do this. You know, we're going to get to it next week. But one of the examples of praying is Jesus Christ. I can't imagine Jesus, even in the recorded prayers of Jesus, where he was anything less than understanding what the will of God was, patiently accepting and asking in ways that was compatible with his heavenly Father. I would have loved to have been there at the Lord's Supper to hear him pray before distributing the bread and then doing it before taking the cup. Or when he was off by himself, when Peter and the others had to go find him, when he rose up a great while before day and went out and found a solitary place and there he prayed. Or when he was all night long in prayer. And one other thing, I'm getting into next week's lesson already. But I want to pray like Jesus prayed, I really do. And there's so many things in life that can get in the way. How many ever had this? You want to set aside time to pray, and then the kids need something. Or the phone rings. Or somebody at work needs this. Like I said, we have an enemy. Our adversary is a roaring lion. The devil himself walks about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour your prayer life. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're praying in a superficial way, oftentimes people, I know we were trying to teach our kids to pray, and oftentimes, Lord, they would bow their heads to pray, Lord, thank you for this day, thank you for this good food. And after, in their infancy, that's in a juvenile, that's good, but let's graduate a little bit further. Why are we thankful for the day? What else about the food? And try to help them to understand that praying is communing with God. Why? Because he's right here. He's not far off. He's not distant. He is right here. All right. Let's do this. Let's close it now. And we will finish up next week with... I said this last week, didn't I? We'll finish up. But I trust the discussion, conversation, answers, questions have been helpful for you. Because if there's one... By the way, if there's one area in all of our lives, me included, that needs help and consistency and fervency is praying, right? That's why there's times that messages I have preached on praying, I may not offer a hand raise invitation because we're all honest with ourselves. Every one of us raise our hands. But oh, that we would keep making progress. That praying would become a habitual, developed communing with God. And by the way, praying is not conditioned by your personality. It's not conditioned by your education. It's not conditioned by the length of time you've been saved. It's not conditioned by anything other than you're His child. He wants your fellowship. He wants your communion. Okay, it's time to stop. One more thing. Could it be possible the Lord brings things into our lives so that we pray? Chew on that for a while. Heavenly Father, thank you in Jesus' name for the time that we have to be in your word and talk about such an important matter, a topic that is, oh, near and dear to you, obviously. From the Garden of Eden to the scene in heaven at the end of all time, there's a great emphasis on communing with you and praising you and asking you, depending upon you, relying upon you, adoring you, worshiping, praising, glorifying you. Help us to be praying people. God, help us to be a praying church, full of praying people. Help us to be communing with you so that we're not just saying prayers, not just superficial, but Lord, we're developing a wholesome, healthy, godly prayer life for you, Lord, for your glory, because that's what it's all about, Lord. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.